belief. Father, I thank you, Lord God. Word will come forth mighty and with demonstration and power, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, how the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth and righteousness for thy name's sake, Father. Lord God, you maketh to lie down in green pastures beside still waters. Lord, you restoreth our soul, our mind, our will, and our intellect. You do a restoration, Lord God. Not just a once-over, not a makeover. You do a restoration. And Lord, when you restoreth our soul, Father God, you restore our mind. You restore our imagination. You restore us, Father God. So, Lord, that we can walk before you in holiness and in righteousness. Father, you restore our emotions. Father, you restore our heart. Father, you restore us. Not only our cardia, but you restore our spirit man, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. We are grateful people, Lord. And we can imagine it, Father God, because you give us an imagination. Not for evil, Father. You give us an imagination to imagine you, Father God, to imagine us walking with you, to imagine us doing things for you, so that we could imagine doing those things, Father God. So we strengthen that imagination tonight. Father, we strengthen our imagination to be pure, holy, and just. And Father, we do that by putting on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We gird our loins with truth. We shod our feet with peace and come with the sword of spirit and the shield of faith, quenching every lie, quenching every attack, quenching everything, Lord God, that puts us in condemnation. We quench it with the word of God. We say we are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. We have the mind. We have the mind, a renewed mind, Father. We give you all the honor and glory, Father, for it, Father. And we thank you. What a privilege to serve you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Everybody turn to Romans 12:1, please. That opening prayer was to pray God's will in us so our mind doesn't sidetrack us. Amen. The Word of God says alleys, blind alleys, and wrong turns. So we got to put the Word on our mind. But I want to break down Romans 12:1 a little bit. I think that's a real dynamic scripture. Matter of fact, I know it is. And then we're going to Romans 1 after that. The King James, I want to read this. Let me pull Romans 12:1 up here in the message. I want to read the King James first, and then we'll read the message. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to get the message here, and I want to read it in the King James. Imagination. If you can imagine it, you can have it. Anything you want from God, you first got to imagine it. And before you run to even pray, Joyce Meyer says, think what you're thinking on. Because once you meditate on it, you can have it. Romans 12:1 is a scripture I love, and I quote it a lot. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in the King James, by the mercies of God, the mercies are renewed every morning, amen, that ye present your body. Now, this presentation that the Bible's talking about, this presentation isn't something you can do, because what you could do, you did already. So you're coming to God so he can do something new. So it says to present yourself. Once you present yourself to a judge or in a court, you present yourself. Now you know there's going to be corrections and intentions and awarded things that he's going to award to you. But you're going to present yourself. So That's what God is saying here. Present yourself. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. He is the ultimate sacrifice, but there is a sacrifice that we do by getting this flesh and getting it in line. You sacrifice things. You sacrifice a lot of things, evil thoughts, your ways, your opinions, your ideas, your viewpoints, and you put the word on it. Amen. So a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, you're going to present yourself holy, but you're going to do it by the blood of Jesus, because it's not by your works. Nothing is by your works. It's by Jesus. We can't do anything of ourselves. And every time we try, we fail and we get frustrated. So we got to walk in the Holy Spirit, whether you think you can do it or not. You're walking under the Holy Spirit. You ask God to anoint you, and He will. I've done it many times. And if I would have done it unto myself, for myself, I would have failed. But I asked the Holy Spirit to come on me. And then it makes things different. Because now your mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit. I can even say more about that, because at times when I wasn't in the Word and when I was in the Word, and my thought processes are completely different. It says, holy and acceptable one of God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable that you'll do this thing. Why? Because you say you love Him and Christ is in you. So it's reasonable that you would act like a Christian and act like you love Him. I use the example all the time. You remember when you were on your first date, the first girl that you dated or the first man, and how you felt and always wanted to be with them. That's what Jesus Christ wants. He wants you to think of Him that way. Listen to verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, transformation can only take place if you want it, you chase after it, you want it so bad. Remember the first date, Nick? It didn't matter whether you worked all night or not, man. You was up, dressed up, and you was going to find her. And when you get that kind of attitude with Jesus, this is what it means to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
That's work.
That's a lot of work. Your mind, your will, and intellect will take you places you don't want to go. It'll also direct your path if you let it. It's so important, especially when you are, respectfully, hard-headed. I've always said that. I says, I remember when I used to smoke. I says, and I said this, that whatever I give these cigarettes up for, whoever helps me to give these up, I will be indebted to for life. Because I knew they were killing me. I knew they were killing me. Well, guess what? Tuesday night, May 19th. I have the time. I forgot the time. I thought it was 7:50. I got hands laid on me. And I asked those cigarettes, have it to go, and it went. I made that vow. I'll serve you, Lord, because you took. I would have been dead. I'd have been a dead man.
Right.
So, but your mind wants that nicotine. So what I did, I read the Word. So instead of a cigarette, I went to the Word.
There you go.
And after a while, just amen. You start hungering for the Word.
That's right.
What am I saying? I'm getting to transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good. Pastor Bannon used to say this, good was 30, acceptable 60, and perfect 100.
Right.
Will. So, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Because God is using an imperfect vessel like you. And how do we become perfect? We become perfect reading the Word every day. And wording up, Pastor Jack. Wording up. That's how we get those imperfections out of us. When you transform your mind, 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are a new creature.
Right.
When you get born again, you are a new creature. All things and all things. Now, that is our mind and will, if we will that to be so. Some things we hold on to.
Yeah, come on, preach it, brother.
And we keep them in our heart because we love them, you know, and we know they're just not kind of right, but we're going to hold on for a while and not give it to God. And God knows all that. So it's a renewing process. So it just takes a while. And why does it take a while? Because if you would reach perfection like that, you wouldn't stay there. You would soon fall away. There's a good teaching we're going to get to in Romans 1 if I get there tonight. And they that knew God knew him. Took the truth and changed it into a lie. Romans 12:1, and I was praying down here, and when I was praying Psalm 23 to, Lord, lead me, make me to lie down in green pastures and restore my soul. And there's a restoration going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's restoring your soul.
Yeah.
He's not just fixing it. He's not putting it back together. Anybody here car guys, and I know Pastor Jack used to be, isn't a restoration different than a fix-up?
Yeah,
right. When you restore a car, you restore every nut and bolt. You clean up everything. If it's dirty, you clean it, repaint it. So that's what God's doing to us.
That's right.
In our spirit, man.
Come on, Bob.
And sometimes we don't really get there yet because we're on me, so that's why I don't get there yet. But we're getting there.
That's right.
So that restoration, when you get restored, your imagination is restored. It's not always still going to go where you think it should go. But then I said last time, I said there's a training that you have to do with the Word of God to train your imagination to go the direction it has to go. Because if you can imagine it, that's where you're going. I imagine myself, and I said this down at Smith's, I imagine myself years ago teaching at Smith's. And I had the guitar, and I was playing them a song, a normal, you know, easy song, and I was singing it. And I told them that I seen this years ago in my imagination. And so some of you might have businesses or working a job that you've seen in your imagination, or a family that you've seen in your imagination. And it come to pass. Why? Because you willed it to.
Right.
And it gets back to healing. When you need a healing, you have to imagine being healed. God's no respecter of persons. And though it may still be there and hurt, you have to imagine being healed. And once you get it in your mind, it drops to your heart and you conceive it. And then you have conception in the spirit. It talks about Romans 1, I believe it's Romans 1, it's like getting pregnant. Romans 1 even says the creation is impregnated, waiting for Christ to come back to give birth to a new world.
Right.
And that's what we have to do. We have to get into our imagination who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when I imagine laying hands on somebody and they got healed, and that's the way I went. I pressed towards that mark. And even though I always didn't do or was a good example, I still got repented and got back and pressed towards that mark. Because I imagined it. That's how important imagination is. Ephesians 4:23 said, it's a renewing in your spirit. And it's coming up to me now that you cannot renew your spirit if you don't get into the Word of God. You need the Word to get it. I wanted to read this. Romans 12:1 in a message, because I think it comes out, it brings it home more. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention or fix your imagination on God.
There you go.
You'll be changed from the inside out. The world wants a change from the outside in. They think because they got a good look, good walk, they're in. And that's a lie. We change before God from the inside out. And now we give Him all that's hidden in our heart. We don't hide it at all. Says, Lord, I'm going to repent of that. I know I'm guilty, but I'm going to repent of that. And you've already forgiven me. But I'm going to repent of it and do better.
Yes.
Do better.
Come on.
Amen. Because you've got a better covenant.
Yep.
The word's written on your heart. It's not in a tablet of stone no more. Because the letter killeth. And we don't operate on the old covenant. We operate on the new covenant. And for you that don't know this, in the new covenant, the word is written on your heart so that you may walk uprightly before Him. Now, when you got born again, church, you're not natural no more. And when we say we're a supernatural church, that's more accurate than you thinking you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're not natural. You are not a natural man. You're getting your body in line and you're becoming supernatural. Well, how are you supernatural? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead indwells and quickens.
Yeah.
Restoration quickens.
Yeah.
Quickens your mortal body. And that's why Jesus is alive in us, because we're quickened. So anything we do, and I don't know about you, but now anywhere I am or what I'm doing, I remember who I am.
Right.
So I'll be an example. I watch my mouth, I watch my actions, and I'll be an example, because it's so important to God that that person that don't know God can see Jesus in you as an example. Don't forget who you are. We can do that.
Yeah.
That's what it says in here, that you'll be changed from the inside out. But backing up, it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking.
Mm.
Who are you today? And then you're somebody else tomorrow. God doesn't want that. He wants you right on course, knowing Him, and that He is able to lift you up. He's able to lead and guide you. He is able to restore you because you allowed Him to.
Yeah.
And I thought the message brought that out very well. I'm just gonna mention a couple things here. Now, Genesis 6:7 said, evil imaginations continually. That really... I see Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. And then Adam and Eve sinning and left the garden, and there was an archangel there. They could not get back in, so they had to go, I don't know, live in caves. They had to live somewhere. But what a fall. And then after that restoration, you jump over and you go to the Tower of Babel, where they are anti-God. Antichrist, really. And they build a tower and they say, in your face, we will rebuild. Where did you hear them words before? When the towers went down, you know what they said later on?
Mm-hmm.
We will rebuild. How could you walk with God every day and all of a sudden don't even want Him in your life? Sound like today?
Come on.
Sound like today, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Days of Noah? Sounds like today. I want to go right now. I was going to give you examples of evil imagination and blessed imagination. Before I jump there, I want you to see something. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29:14. 1 Chronicles 29:14. Just to set the stage for you a little bit, in 1 Chronicles 29:14, this was the end of David's reign, and Solomon was getting set up. God told King David that you are a man of bloody hands. You cannot build my temple. So Solomon's growing up now, and he's going to take over because David's going home with the Lord. It says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare thy heart unto you. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. And 18 says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts. I mean, what should he keep in it? They was giving gold, silver. They was bringing it in to build the temple, the wood. And God wanted them to remember how things were given. He wanted Solomon to remember how great of God David had. And also Solomon, I want to back up to see if I can pull this out before we jump. 28:9. We're there. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations. Now you think about that when your imagination runs wild. God understands, but he also knows. Understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. He knows every thought. And when you train your imagination, he knows you're training it. He knows the good thoughts. And he helps us so that we don't forget our God, our Lord God, that brought us in such a great a nation to this and fed us and blessed our children. Never, I will never, ever forget that. And I said this, that even 2016, when I got down on my face and I had tears in my eyes, I says, Lord, we are $22, $23 trillion in debt. What is left for my grandchildren? I said, Father, you have to help us. My grandchildren deserve better than this. Please, Lord God, send a man to run this country. Of course he did. And it was only because of one prayer. There was many, many, many prayers. Right. But see, that was a desire, a deep desire, a heart. My imagination was there when I prayed. I didn't let it drift. I was right before God crying out to him, help, Father, help us. And now we have the light, the darkness, the light's pushing back the darkness. I believe that. Amen? Amen. Because of our imagination. If we didn't care about our grandchildren, we could have went another direction. I just want you to see that with Solomon. Romans chapter 1, please. I'm probably going to run out of time, but I'm going to stay on course here and just go till I get the godly sign back there. Romans chapter 1, I want to break in down around 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Remember, I said this before, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look around. You see God. And if you think this crawled out of the sea or evolved, you're blind. It's our Lord God that set all things in order to work at specific times so that we can have seasons and we can have times of refreshing. God did that for us. Amen? But I want you to see something. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Let me read that again so we don't miss. It says, when they knew God. How well can you know somebody when you know somebody? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Sorry, when I read that, once saved, always saved was out the window. They knew God. Now I was talking to a nice Lutheran lady here. I can't remember where it was. And I told her, well, I was in a Lutheran church too. I said, I love that church. She says, well, why did you leave? I said, well, because when I read my Bible, I learned that you weren't once saved, always saved. You can make a decision to go to hell if that's what you decide. Well, right here it is. When they knew God. They were vain in their imagination. So we got to watch our imagination, right? If vanity runs rampant, we do too. And trust me, when you get out in vain imaginations, you will do things that you thought you would not have done. Yeah, yeah. You'll say, I don't believe I just done that. Oh my God, my Lord, forgive me. I don't believe I said that. Oh my God, forgive me. I don't believe that I lost it so bad that I hurt that man. God, forgive me. It's vain imaginations. And your imagination needs the Word of God. Think on these things. They're lovely, just, of a good report. Think on these things. He even tells us what to think on. They were professing themselves, verse 22, to be wise, but they became fools. You know what? I talked to a lot of people, and I listened to every chance to tell them about Jesus. I just give me some door to go in. I'll tell them about Jesus. But you listen to that foolishness. And you know what? I was there. I know. Someone coming and talk to me. But the thing about it is, you know, you have to wade through a lot of vanity, a lot of filthy communication. You have to wade through a lot of pride. And what's the word say? They're fools. If they don't, anybody don't know Jesus, they're a fool.
That's right.
Because anything they say or do is foolish. They are their God. And I'll show you as we get down here, because there's a lot in this chapter. It just... Verse 23, and says, they changed the glory of our Lord God, our Father, They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, a bird, a four-footed beast, or any creeping thing. Not picking on no religion, but you know what? Got to get away from statues. You got to do it. That's not God's image, and you shouldn't have any image built up. And that's what they did in the Old Testament. And they went and they knelt down before trees and they carved out images. And they worshiped trees. They worshiped the creation and they did not worship the Creator. Do you think they're doing that today? Well, don't answer, because they are. And there are some high-profile people that still do this. And along with it comes orgies and what else? Because it's the vain imagination. It keep taking you down, more decrepit, more evil thoughts. You get used to that, so here's something worse. And it keeps going. It keeps winding you down till you say, I can't believe where I'm at. Then you decide, well, you know what? There's no way back. I'm going to kill myself. There's no way. And there is a way back. That's how our minds go. And that's how a vain imagination can hurt you. That's how important the word is. You don't operate in the law of sin and death. You operate in the law of life in Christ Jesus. Two laws. And your imagination can take you to either one if you let it. That's how come you can be supernatural, because you're operating in the law of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 24, you know what? I feel bad if somebody gets to this place right here in verse 24. I feel very bad. Because they're almost at the point, well, they are at the point of no return. And there's people walk among us today, they are at the point of no return. There's no going back. They've went too far. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. Sounding familiar? Protected class? Come on. A protected class today? Are you kidding me? And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up over a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors, imagination, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, because they had a covenant. These are people that we read about in the beginning of the text.
Right.
They knew God. So don't trust your flesh. Don't think that we're standing on the rock, and we are standing on a rock. But you've got to be watched. Be careful. Protect your heart with all diligence, lest you fall. These are truth breakers. They're without natural affection. Wonder why they could pull a trigger? Without natural affection. Now implacable, if I pronounced that right, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So you just got a glimpse and a picture of a vain imagination. How far can it go? It just showed you how far it could go. You can't stop it. Once you get into vanity, you're in that cycle. It's pretty hard to get out of there unless you cry out to Jesus.
Right.
From the Garden of Eden walking with God to this, what happened? What happened? And I was talking to somebody and they told me that the 50s and the 60s was a falling away. And they got into the hippie movement. That generation did not bring their children up in church.
Right.
They knew God. And did not church that generation. Now that generation, being a millennial, and I believe they call it the tech generation, the T generation, or something like that, they don't know God. We think they know God, but they don't know God. This is why we are needed so desperately. Because they don't know God. They never was brought up as God. Just think of yourself growing up in your family, never going to church, and all this stuff going on. And it's all right. It's all right. It's not all right. And they're getting further and further away from the truth of God.
Right.
So, with a protected class, I never got the opportunity yet. I don't know why. But if I would witness to one of these, I would take him to Romans 1. I said, son or daughter, listen. It's not my opinion. It's not what I think. It's what the Word thinks. Would you read or let me read this to you so that you get what the Word of God says?
That's right.
It's not what we think. You've got to give them the Word of God, not what you think. You've got to give them the Word of God, not our prejudices. We've got to give them the Word of God, not our morals. You've got to give them the Word of God, because it's only the Word of God that's going to save a reprobate mind.
That's right.
There was an example I read about a father coming to see his daughter, but the daughter was with the two mothers, and she loved the two mothers, and she didn't want nothing to do with the father at that time. And I watched a movie on Noah back in his time when he was building the ark, and the perversion that come up to him, even his, I believe it was his uncle, or that was just perverted. And we are in Noah's time. We are in Noah's time. And we don't got much time. I say much time in light of time till Christ comes back, whatever that is. If you think it's 10, 20 years, it doesn't matter. We don't got much time. So to save a soul from hell is very important. I know I say this every time. But we have to be instruments of righteousness. We have to have that imagination that's born again, that thinks different, that processes different, that looks at somebody not in a prejudiced way, not in a demeaning, not condescending, but in a way that Christ would have us look at them so that they would have the opportunity to live. Hell's real. Once they go to hell, there's no change. Hell's real. So we have to give them heaven, because that's what we're here for.
That's right.
So renewing our imaginations. Can you see yourself doing that? Yeah, I have my notes. I have what is the image in your imagination, and what is your goal and your vision, and what is your prize? What is your vision? Okay, I'm going to in I was going to go back and go through this. This is really good, too. How's my time, Dad? Oh, my goodness. Okay, now I have to make a decision. I don't know what part to give you. Help me out, Holy Spirit. Yeah. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. I'll wind it down. First Corinthians chapter 10. I'm sorry, forgive me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, I want to go to... We're going down to 4, but just back up for 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What could that ever mean? I mean, I used to walk up and get upset somebody, and I was a good boxer, you know, and I could take them out, hit them. But what am I warring against? You hit somebody, they get back up, and they just look at you like, okay, stupid, I'm doing it again. So we don't war after the flesh. It's stupidity. You're a fool if you war after the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal. It's not in your strength, okay? It's not in the carnality of what you think you could take somebody out. But listen what it says. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, hello?
Yeah, that's right.
Casting down imaginations, perverted thoughts. Vanity, vain thoughts, casting them down, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ, having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So it used to be in my younger days, I used to think, I heard people say they go up to the high rise and pull Satan down, cast down. No, this is not what this means.
Right.
This scripture right here is for between your ears.
Yeah.
For you need this scripture. You need to cast down vain imaginations and put the word in there.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we need to do. This is what is going to help us. And then it gets us in line to do what God has us to do. This is a weapon for your imagination. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Mother taught it, I bought it in a religious teaching, so that's what I'm doing. Every high thing, pulling it down into captivity so that you can live.
Right.
So you can know God.
Amen.
Casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. Knowledge comes from the Word of God. Against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. I was very fascinated, and still, I was very fascinated about imagination. Because if I could imagine it, I will do it. And a lot of things I did in my life, I imagined I could do them. Whether I did them well, average, better, best, it didn't make no difference. I still did them because my imagination lined up and I did what was in my mind. So now it's a godly mind, so I can do things in Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens my imagination. So I hope this helped you.
Amen.
God bless you. I love sharing it with you. And go in peace. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm up here to pray for it.